Welcome to Busy Research, the podcast where business meets data and insights drive success. I'm your host, Vicki McCarthy, director of the Center for Applied Business Research at Austin Peay State University. On this podcast, we get busy learning about how applied business research can improve business decision making. On today's episode of Busy Research, we explore the fascinating intersection of artificial intelligence and business. We'll delve into the world of businesses that are leveraging AI and enhancing their operations. From streaming processes to making data-driven decisions, AI is reshaping the way organizations function. Joining us today is Dr. John Volker, a professor of entrepreneurship at Austin Peay State University and a seasoned expert in the field who will share his insights and experiences. So let's jump in. Businesses across various industries are adopting AI to improve efficiency, reduce costs, and enhance overall performance. Dr. John Volker is an early adopter of AI technology and teaches his students how to leverage AI in the classroom. Welcome, Dr. Volker.
Well, I'm glad to be here, Vicki. Thank you for having me.
So to start off, can you provide a few examples of how you're using your research and expertise to teach business students and future entrepreneurs about leveraging AI in business?
Sure, I'd be glad to. I have kind of a model that I work, motto that I work with, and that's that I don't want the students to use it for cheating, but I want them to use it to become more effective and more successful students, and hopefully, you know, make contributions to any organizations that they go to. So in light of that motto, what I've tried to do is I've incorporated what's called generative AI, which is the ChatGPT that you've heard about so much lately, into every class that I teach. And we're also going to have a special problems course this spring, be an 8-week course that will teach the students how to utilize ChatGPT specifically in marketing and in management and in finance. So I'm excited about that. But I've taken several courses from Vanderbilt to Coursera in trying to become more proficient myself and to understand the magnitude of the change that AI is going to make in the business world. So almost every assignment that I give in the entrepreneurship class has some component of generative AI involved. And it is to, again, help the students set up a better workflow and to actually to do better work by taking their original work, submitting it to AI's judgment, if you will, and then taking the feedback that the AI gives the student. And, you know, they can decide then whether they want to take that advice or make those changes or not. So I've done some experiments with using AI as a peer review in my entrepreneurship class. And what was exciting about it was that always before, when we had students do, you know, peer reviews of each other, one, very reluctant to criticize each other. And the students had a lot of difficulty finding someone to review, you know, their business plan or their marketing plan or whatever. So we tried in one class, and I'm going to adopt it now for all my classes, to have ChatGPT be the peer reviewer. And the student would submit their work. ChatGPT would critique it, analyze it, and offer suggestions for improvement. And what I wanted to see from the student was the original work, the submission to ChatGPT, and then what ChatGPT, you know, suggested that they do to improve it. And then whether they did that or not was up to them, up to the student. But I wanted to know why or why not. And it worked out pretty well. Another area that I'm working on right now is looking at how we can use ChatGPT relative to our accreditation effort and in evaluating, specifically evaluating the writing abilities of our graduate and undergraduate students, and done a lot of work with that, and actually developed what's called a GPT, which will automatically evaluate, in this case, graduate writing. And it critiques the writing, and it also offers suggestions for improvement. So that's kind of where my research is going right now. It's just more of a applied than theoretical.
So it sounds like your students are getting a lot of experience with using AI, and in particular the ChatGPT. Why is it important that students learn about, especially business students, learn about AI?
Well, to my mind, Vicki, there's several reasons. And I'll give you six of them. One is a competitive advantage. A business to survive in today's marketplace has to have a competitive advantage. Hopefully it's a sustainable competitive advantage. In operations, marketing, strategic planning. And if we can send out students who are at least familiar with the capabilities of AI and generative AI specifically, then they'll be in a much better position to contribute to those organizations that they go to work for. It also helps them develop their critical thinking relative to decision making. The AI can analyze huge amounts of data much, much faster than any human being can. And by using, the AI to do the analysis and then give that analysis to the student to further refine it or develop applications from that analysis, again, it makes for a better student. Being able to use those big databases like that, it helps their critical thinking. And those big databases, they're used in finance a lot. They're used in customer service a lot. Now, where I particularly get excited about it is the innovation and product development aspects. The student that can master the prompts and has a good understanding of what generative AI can do can take a very basic idea. We do this in my entrepreneurship class. Have one student that wants to see if they can develop a football that has a GPS locating device in it so they could have exact measurements relative to, whether the first down was made and all that sort of thing. But before, we would just have to talk about that and kind of just bounce it around, so to speak. With ChatGPT and other AI tools, we can develop prototype images of it. We can discuss with ChatGPT how this, what are the obstacles that we're facing? What are the requirements that we would have to have? And, it'll come up with lists of things that we hadn't even really thought about, quite frankly. And then we can work with that and come up with a much better business proposal for, the GPS equipped football than we would have before. And, some of the things that my class is working on right now, relative to that I think is giving them a competitive advantage is, that football, a young lady from Germany is working on a thing that she's calling Tennis Mate, and that would be a robotic tennis player that would play against, people that, couldn't find a partner. whatever, and using ChatGPT, we're coming up with drawings and images of it, and being able to really conceptualize the ideas that they're having. So it's really exciting. So the innovation and the product development, it's fascinating to watch the students be a little bit hesitant at first, and then when they start to realize how easy it is to work with it, with the AIs, and then they lose their inhibitions and they take off and start coming up with some pretty good ideas. The other thing, and this would be, again for larger companies, but operational efficiencies. The AI can and does automate routine tasks, optimizes logistics. It can improve supply chain management. All those things lead to increased efficiencies and reduced costs. Reducing costs, companies more profitable. If the student knows that these things can be done, they can help the companies that they're working for implement them, even by just suggesting that those areas be investigated. Another thing is that the introduction of the LLMs, or the large learning models, which is when we're talking about AI here, that's what we're talking about, is that many people call that introduction back in October of 23 a Gutenberg moment. And what they're saying is that the change is that the AIs are going to cause in business and other organizations is equivalent to the changes that were wrought by, Gutenberg's printing press. And a lot of people have trouble with that, and it frightens them to a certain point. And what they're afraid of, obviously, is, ooh, I might lose my job, or, will I be replaced by a robot, that sort of thing. And I think that having a knowledge, having a working knowledge of AI, gives our students an edge that actually kind of future-proofs their careers. So I think that the business students with AI knowledge will be better equipped to adapt to evolving job requirements. The other thing is that by talking about it and using it and working with it in classes, the students get a much, much better feel of the ethical and social implications. And understanding the ethical consequences of using AI and how it's going to impact society is absolutely critical. And our students, by being exposed to this, by talking about it, they're going to be more equipped to face the moral dilemmas that they're going to face so, the challenges that come with implementing AI solutions, because a lot of those solutions will take jobs away. Now, the one thing about disruptive technology, generally it may cost some jobs, but almost always it also creates jobs. But we just don't know what jobs it's going to create. There's really no way to know that. But just yesterday in my entrepreneurship class, we had just the best conversation, and we were talking about Elon Musk and the Neuralink, and how it's initiated to help people that are paraplegic and suffer from ALS. But we all know that it will be developed in many, many ways. So we were just kind of playing future scenarios, and one of the students came up with a very good, what I would call, ethical quandary, ethical question, was that, we threw out the thing, well, what if, the Neuralink became something where you could just plug in a learning module and very quickly, you would know how to do something, or you would have some knowledge, a la the Matrix or something like that. And then we started talking about, well, what if, it became a requirement to have that to get, any kind of a management position. And then we started talking about, well, what about the people that couldn't afford to get that? And, there could be this whole left behind population. So they were really getting into the ethical dilemmas of that sort of thing, and trying to come up with reasonable solutions. So the students in my classes are very much exposed to the generative AI, both the text to image and the text to text conversations with it. So quite exciting.
That is very exciting. And it sounds like your students are getting a really good exposure to AI. And I love how you talk about the development of critical thinking skills and upskilling your students, right? Is because we hear a lot about that when jobs disappear, how important it is to upskill if you want to stay competitive in the workforce. And so giving those students a competitive advantage will help them as they come out of the program and are looking for jobs. So those are great examples. And then you touch on the ethical and social aspects of AI, and considering those before you go into the workplace will give them a leg up on a lot of issues. So it sounds like the business students in your classes are getting a lot of out of their exposure to AI and learning about the tools that are available. With that said, so can you elaborate a little on how AI is contributing to streamlining business operations? And you touched a little bit on this and on product development and then operational efficiencies.
The major ways that generative AI can help a business, it can help them become more efficient, can help them reduce cost, and it can enable innovation. And being innovative in business actually is quite difficult. There's lots of obstacles to it, and the generative AI can, if you've ever been in a brainstorming session, you know how difficult it can be to come up with even 10 good ideas. And a generative AI can, if you give it the topic and you give it a prompt, it can come up with 100 ideas in much less time. And then, the business people can go through and look at and see which ones they want to use. But where it's really going to make an impact is in finance, HR, and customer service. The generative AIs can speed up those processes, and they also reduce the likelihood of human errors. Now, that's not to say that, these AIs are perfect. They still have what are called, some of them still have what are called hallucinations, which that's just a buzzword within the field for, it made a mistake. There's a tool called robotic process automation, that they're combining that process with AI to mimic human actions for tasks like data entry, invoice processing, customer inquiries. A lot of times when you see the little chat bots on a website, there's actually an AI behind that. Supply chain optimization. The AI algorithms can predict demand. They can optimize the inventory levels and overall enhance logistics. Again, analyzing huge amounts of data, finding things that they can analyze it in such a way and so fast that they can find things that we don't find when we're analyzing it, because we can't do that broad-based analysis like they can. So, they can, for larger companies, they can make sure that the right products are in the right places at the right time, minimize those stock outs and overstock situations, and that way the companies don't have to, have sales and take losses and all that sort of thing. Another thing that AI can do is to optimize route planning for transportation, and that reduces delivery times and costs. And one area that I'm particularly interested in and excited is preventative maintenance. And in all the heavy industries that I've worked with or been around, you fix things when they break. And that's a shutdown. It's very expensive. But AI can predict when machines and equipment are likely to fail or to need maintenance. And so you could have a true preventative maintenance program and preempt those downtimes and those, it's usually a lot easier to oil a machine than it is to wait for it to run out of oil and then repair whatever it was it tore up because of that. And that's what that can do. Another and I see the predictive maintenance, places like railroads, trucking companies, airlines, the military, all of those depend on machines working the way they're supposed to when they're supposed to, and being able to predict with good accuracy when that machine might break down or when it needs a part replaced before that part breaks down. It could be pretty well, it would be. It'd be extremely important. The other thing is customer relations management. AIs can personalize the customer experience, analyzing the data from the various touch points. They'll be able to understand the needs of the customers much better. They'll understand customer behavior much better. And that will allow them to tailor their communication and offerings to an individual person. So just, put your Imagineering hat on and just think of being a customer of a company that truly understands what you need and what you like, and always has the products that you need and like available to you. So I think it's pretty cool. The generative AIs, some of them are being used as personal assistants already, where they set up your schedules, your appointments. They can, back to the customer relationship, they can handle inquiries, they can resolve issues promptly. Because one of the cool things about the AI that I'm talking about, which is the generative AI, is that for the first time ever, we can talk to computers in a natural language, which is, the language that I'm using right now. When I talk to ChatGPT, of course, I type it in, but even now you can use your microphone and just, dictate to it. But you're using just natural language. You don't have to know code. You don't have to know anything about computers whatsoever. You just talk to it and it talks back to you. And that makes things like using it for customer relationship management so very important, because if I'm talking with this chatbot that's supposed to be helping me, the chatbot really will be able to help me, because it actually generates new knowledge and new answers. It's not just spitting out a canned answer, the way a lot of customer service reps do. They'll have a book and they'll just work their way down through the book. So another very huge one is data analysis and decision making. And all of the AIs, they just absolutely excel at processing and analyzing huge amounts of data much, much faster than is possible by a human. And what they can do is uncover insights, patterns, and trends that might not be apparent otherwise. And that capability supports decision making in areas, market analysis, financial planning, strategy development. But it's just so absolutely amazing what you can do with one. You can take a photograph, let's say a photograph of a farm or horse out there and all that. And you can load it into the AI and you can ask the AI, what's going on in this photograph? And it will go into a depth of detail and analysis that's really it's overwhelming, actually. You can also take like a spreadsheet of data and just load it into Chat GPT-4 and say, find any trends in this data. And that's all you have to say to it. And it will dig and churn around, and it will, if there are any trends there, it will find them. Now, they may not be important trends, but they might be very significant trends. But what it will do is it will give you a list of the trends that it has found. And then it's up to you, the human, to look at those and think, are they, is this of any value to us in the company? A final one, and one that actually is huge, is fraud detection and risk management. And the generative AIs, or all of the AIs actually, can see patterns that we don't see. And they're just absolutely excellent at doing that. So they can see patterns and anomalies and financial transactions, and they would be able and can, they are being used for this now, they can look for fraudulent activities by recognizing patterns that are associated with fraudulent activities that may be buried in masses of data. It can be used to enhance security, assess credit risks, and comply with, various and sundry regulatory relations, requirements, excuse me, more efficiently.
That's incredible. That is mind-blowing, actually, how much they can do, especially when you think about data. I mean, there's so much data out there, and we went through that time, the data phase in our evolution of management, right? From our industry to data, and now what do we do with all that data? Because there's a lot out there. And it sounds like AI is one of the answers to that dilemma that it can take. Like you said, it's can be beyond the scope of one human to manage all that data, but it's mind-blowing that what it can do. Do you have an example of a success story or a particular business that used AI-driven data analysis?
I do indeed. Yeah. One success story that's almost always mentioned in the literature is Netflix. And it uses AI data analysis. And basically, what they were able to do was literally revolutionize content recommendation and production. And when you get on Netflix, it kind of tells you what it thinks you would be likely to watch, and to be accurate with it. But what it did in doing that was it really improved the customer satisfaction and the business performance of Netflix. And Netflix, you know, what, millions of subscribers worldwide. So there's a huge, boggles the mind when you think about it, how much data is flowing into Netflix on a daily basis about what people are watching, how long they watch it, all that sort of thing. So, what Netflix wants to do is maintain and increase, subscriber engagement. And of course, that market's much more competitive than it used to be, but they were able to stay very successful through that personalized content recommendations. And they were able to do that because of the AI analysis. So they have, they have the personalized recommendations, and then they have, they analyze the trends, the preferences, viewer satisfaction. They even analyze which actors, appeal to the market, that sort of thing. So, they have a very, very good handle on the market using AI. So they've been very successful with it. But they've increased their viewer engagement, they've increased their subscriber growth, and they've gotten industry recognition for, their original productions are based on their data analysis of what people are watching, what people like, what storylines are popular, and all that sort of thing. So they, they're a huge user of artificial intelligence.
Yes, it will be. And Netflix is a great example. Thank you for sharing that. And it sounds like there's tons of opportunities for businesses out there when it comes to using AI. But what are some of the challenges businesses face when implementing AI?
Well, the first one is, I'll just throw out some what I think of as hurdles that most businesses are going to encounter. And the first one would be the data quality and quantity. And in order to train an AI, you need huge, large volumes of data to train it effectively. And so gathering, cleaning, organizing the data could be a significant challenge, especially for a small business. And if the data is incomplete, inaccurate, or in odd formats. But the thing that kind of counters that is that the AIs that are out there that are available for the general public and to small business stuff are already trained. So you really don't have to train them on your data as such. They're quite capable of helping you without that training. But there are some instances where it would be, absolutely necessary. The other thing that they all face is the talent shortage. And there's a really high demand for AI professionals and people that understand data science and machine learning. And those people are going to go for top dollar to top companies. And there's, so it's going to be a very competitive market. The other thing is to integrate it with existing systems. And that can be, problematic, but it can be, very complex, very time consuming, and the legacy systems might possibly not even be compatible with the new AI tools. And so, lots of modifications, lots of expenses. Cost developing, implementing, maintaining AI can be expensive. Costs that are related to technology, talent, data management, and potentially and probably significant changes to existing business processes and systems. AI is going to change business in ways that we really can't imagine yet. And then the other is the ethical and legal considerations. There's questions about privacy, consent, data security. Right now, there's some bills being looked at. I think here in Tennessee, actually, that protect your voice and your image, or will try to. There's a lot of back and forth talk basically about how the AIs were trained, and were they trained by using other people's content? And the answer is yes. Is that ethical? That's one of those questions that's still out there and needs to be answered. But just today, Facebook announced that if that any AI generated images that are put on Facebook, Facebook will automatically put a watermark or something on it. I think that's kind of short term stuff, because as AI becomes more and more accepted, I think a lot of those concerns will go away. It would be, there were some attorneys that had ChatGPT write a brief for them. And one of the rules of AI is that you're responsible for the output, so you need to check it, and they didn't. And it was found out very quickly in court that the whole brief that they had was bogus. The AI had made up a legal situation to help them, so to speak. So, real questions with that. AI is a black box, so to speak, and it can be kind of difficult to figure out how it decided whatever it was that it decided. So, it's a matter of, accountability and trust. And then, of course, there's our favorite, change management. A lot of people are scared of AI. So a lot of people will resist it. Making it really effective in a business is going to, retraining, redeploying staff, ensuring, the organization adapts and actually uses the new technology. And that can be very challenging, as anybody that has done any kind of change management knows. The other thing is to be able to scale the AI solutions. I can develop lots of little solutions, but then to be able to scale them where they could be used at thousands of locations simultaneously, that can be very difficult. And if there is error potential, then the larger it is, the more it would magnify the error. And the other thing is that AI is constantly changing. It's on a exponential growth development curve right now. So maintaining the AI systems, it's going to require continuous maintenance and continuous updating and continuous training of the people that are using it. But those are the things that I see that are most likely to impact on a business that's trying to adopt some AI solutions.
And with a lot of challenges out there, it makes it seem like there's probably a lot of opportunities too. So that, as we talk about upskilling and thinking about the future, there may be some opportunities for business educators and business students to solve those problems. So looking ahead, what do you think are some future trends that business owners and decision makers need to be aware of that will help them seek out the opportunities?
These are some things that, again, I think are important. And I think that Again, trying to pinpoint trends is tricky business, but these are some things that I think are going to happen. And one of them that's really kind of interesting is what's called explainable AI or XAI. And that is, as the systems become more complex, they're going to need to be transparent, and people are going to need to understand how those systems make decisions. And that's going to become critical. And XAI or explainable AI, the goal of that is to make the workings of the algorithms more understandable to humans. And that's essential for us to be able to trust, the system's output. And that is happening now, and it will continue happening. The AI ethics and the governance is a huge area that is constantly evolving, and there's just so many different opinions about where it would go. But as more and more people use AI, the ethical considerations are going to become more and more prominent. We've really got to make sure that the businesses develop AI in a responsible manner. We've got to address the issues of bias, fairness, accountability, and also, the data privacy and AI deployment issues have to be looked at. I'm sure you've heard of deep fakes and some things like that. Well, all that's being done with AI. And I think it was Taylor Swift that somebody did a deep fake of her. And, it was quite hard to tell. And then something that's interesting is called augmented intelligence. And that's instead of replacing people, AI will be used to augment people and to make us, better decision makers, better analysts. But it'll combine the human intuition and creativity with AI's computational power, and hopefully that'll lead to better decision making and problem solving. And that's really what we do in some of the classes, in the college business, is to use the AI to help the student become better, not to replace the student's creative thinking or, critical thinking. There's a trend called AI and edge computing, and that is moving AI processing to the edge of the network, which is closer to the source of data. And you're talking milliseconds of time saved. But for things like autonomous vehicles, smart cities, and the Internet of Things, being close to the action, so to speak, is going to be pretty important. Quantum AI is very early stage development, but quantum computing and the integration of AI with it, we could solve huge problems. We could solve wicked problems much faster, much more effectively than we could now. And things like drug discoveries, material science, complex system modeling, that sort of thing. And one that I find I'm just really fascinated by it is personalized AI. And AI would allow and will allow almost a hyper personalization, and does that by analyzing, the consumer's behavior, preferences, and feedback. And that would mean that, working with, whatever store or organization I was working with, as I worked with them, they would really truly get to know me better and better and better, and be able to meet my needs more and more effectively. And relative to the personalized AI, that's where one of the conversations about how will AI affect education is occurring, and that is for the first time ever, every student can have a personalized tutor that could learn that student's weaknesses, that student's strengths, relative to their ability to learn, and could tailor the learning materials for exactly what that student needed. And I find that absolutely fascinating. And how that will change education, I have no idea, but it will change it. The other is decision making. AI, can do a better analysis than we can, and they already do a kind of critical thinking, and that's just going to get better and better. And so, they can make decisions much faster than we can, and based on a better understanding of patterns and the data that's available that we're able to do. So, those are just some of the areas that are going to change in the future, and they're going to change very quickly.
Wow, that's amazing. There's so much to learn out there and so much to know. So for business owners that want to learn more about AI and how they can leverage it to make them more competitive, to make better business decisions, what are the next steps?
Well, the very first step that I would tell anyone to do that's in the slightest interested in generative AI is to get a get on their computer and get an account with OpenAI so they can play with it. And then play with it. Just have some fun with it. And then after you've done that and you've figured out you're not afraid of it anymore, there's absolutely tons of online courses and tutorials. There is Coursera has, obviously they have certificates that you can earn, and from very reputable schools. And, as I said earlier in this in our talk, I have taken several courses from a professor at Vanderbilt by the name of Jules White, who is absolutely fantastic and a big name in AI. There's the Khan Academy has courses, and most of that is free or very inexpensive. There's a few books that are out there, but I would at this point I would much I would tell someone to get online and get it take an online course about it. And they range from beginner to advanced levels. There's several you can do like do an Amazon search for generative AI books on generative AI, and you'll come up with quite a few. I would caution one there to, take a look at the book before they bought it, to see if it was at the level that they wanted it to be at. There are in most cities there are going to be some workshops, webinars, online seminars to, give you some exposure to this. There are some hackathons and things like that where the computer students and such get together and talk about this, these things. There are, if you really want to get into it, there are degree programs. Austin Peay has a good computer science, program, so you get in there. And we have approved a we're going to teach a course every spring in ChatGPT-3 or ChatGPT in general. Conferences, meetups, the computer, let's see, what is it? CIS. There was just a big computer show in Las Vegas called CIS, and there were lots of AI type devices there being used and shown. Again, hands-on projects. Figure out maybe what you'd like to see it do, and write a letter, do a menu, something like it. Get in there and play with it and get comfortable with it. I guess the thing for me is I would just say, stay curious, keep learning. The AIs, ChatGPT in particular, can and do make mistakes. You're responsible for the output. So if you're going to put it out there, so to speak, make sure you check it before you do that. And that's one of the things that just playing with it, you will learn that fairly quickly.
Well, that's all great advice. Thank you, Dr. Volker, for sharing your valuable insights on how businesses can leverage AI to transform their operations, but also how business owners and business decision makers can seek out more information and more education related to using AI for those purposes. And in the show notes, I'll include not only a link to the Austin Peay courses and entrepreneurship courses, but also to our small business development center so that listeners who are interested in finding out more can contact different places that you've recommended.
That would be excellent.
Thank you to our listeners for tuning in to another episode of Busy Research. If you enjoyed this episode, don't forget to subscribe. We'll catch you in the next episode of Busy Research. Until then, stay curious and busy.